तत्सवितुर्वरेण्यं भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो यो न प्रचोदयात्। पाहि महेशा हे जगदीशा, पाहि महेशा हे जगदीशा, देहि देहि तव पद सेवा, देहि देहि तव पद सेवा, पाहि महेशा हे जगदीशा। पूर्ण ब्रह्म सनातन स्वामी, पूर्ण ब्रह्म सनातन स्वामी, जय हे जय हे अंतर्यामी, जय हे जय हे अंतर्यामी, पाहि महेशा हे जगदीशा, देहि देहि तव पद सेवा, तव पद सेवा।
दिस हैपेंड इन 1968। स्वामी वॉज इन हैदराबाद। द शिवम कंस्ट्रक्शन हैड नॉट येट हैपेंड। Bhagwan was staying in the house of Mr. Satyamurti. He had a fairly large house, very adjacent to where the Shivam building is now, the abode of Bhagwan in Hyderabad. In fact, he was one of the persons who gave the land to Bhagwan. And one afternoon, Mr. Prasad Rao, Mr. Satyamurti and Mr. Raman Rao were with Bhagwan. The lunch was over and they were just at Bhagwan's feet. And after a while, Swami said, "It is 1:30 now. So you go downstairs, I will come down at 3:30. If anyone comes, in the meanwhile, ask them to be seated. There was a big hall which could seat at least 50-100 people. And there were a few rooms on the side which had sofas in case there's any dignitaries. So Mr. Raman Rao and Mr. Satyamurthy and Prasad Rao, all these people who were there serving Bhagwan, came down. And Mr. Raman Rao was sitting below the staircase, waiting for Bhagwan to arrive. Meanwhile, at 3 o'clock, so one person walks in, and Mr. Raman Rao is not familiar with him. He has the air of someone very important. And so he goes straight to Raman Rao and he says, I have to see Swami now. And he says, you're most welcome, but you have to wait because 3:30 Swami will come down and then you can have your audience. And this person says, no, I have to go right now. I have to discuss very important things about the evening arrangements. You have to let me go upstairs. And Raman Rao says that this is Swami's instruction. I cannot let you go up. Now the man is infuriated. Do you know who I am? How dare you stop me? I am making the arrangements for the evening program. Sir, whoever you may be, sir, this is Swami's instruction. So that person gets very agitated and Raman Rao succeeds in asking him to wait in one of the rooms. At 3:30, promptly Swami comes down and as soon as he alights the steps, this person gets up and Swami is, ah, you have come, Umapati Rao. His name was Raja Umapati Rao. The Swami, yes Swami, I came long ago, Swami. Oh, Swami, this person, he did not allow me to go up. And then Swami said, Raman Rao, hey, do you know who he is? He's Jamindar. Jamindar. Umapati Rao, you should apologize. You should not do these things. So immediately Raman Rao, sir, apologizes. He begs his pardon and almost falls at his feet. And Swami says, very good. You wait here. I will just go and see the devotees and come. So he's back to the room. And Swami goes and spends time with the devotees and half an hour goes, 45 minutes goes, and Raja Umapati Rao is waiting, you know. He's the first person whom Swami should have actually spoken to. And so as he's seeing that Bhagwan is busy and perhaps, you know, after this engagement, Swami will come to him. Swami, after that, goes to the house of Satyamurthy's father, which is adjacent, and spends time with that family members of Krishnamurti was Satyamurti's father. Another half an hour goes and he is just getting impatient. Swami comes back after 1 hour, 40 minutes as if nothing has happened. And then Swami looks at the dignitaries and Swami says, ah, it's time for bhajans. All of you go for bhajans. Umapati Rao, you also join. Join for bhajans. And he's like, Swami, you should be speaking to me now. And so the bhajans happen. And after the bhajans, then there was a committee that was formed of elders because at that point in time, they were working out to build a place for Bhagwan in Hyderabad. The Satya Sai organization did not have any center. They used to hire halls and conduct the programs. So there was a meeting of some of the elders. So as this meeting was going on, at that point in time, there was a samiti in Secunderabad. And there were few people in Hyderabad. And now when this proposal had come, devotees had offered to build this abode for Bhagwan in Hyderabad. There were people in Secunderabad who were upset. They felt that, you know, their importance will be reduced. And so to mollify these feelings of the people there, Swami formed a committee and Swami said, people from Secunderabad also should be part of it. So Swami was doing all this ego management. Then Swami said, I need one person to steer this whole thing. One person who will guide and who will direct and who will take people along. So immediately Raja Umapati Rao raised his hand. He said, Swami, I will do it. And Swami said, Umapati Rao, when you came here and Raman Rao told that it is Bhagwan's instructions that nobody should go up, you had no patience. To be a servant of the Lord, you need first politeness, then you need patience, and you need obedience. You have neither politeness, nor patience, nor obedience. How can you do God's work? And Swami makes Mr. Raman Rao the head of that group. And that is how the Shivam construction process begins. And during that visit, towards the fag end of that trip, Mr. Raman Rao and Mr. Prasad Rao and a few other people, they were looking after the logistics of Bhagwan's trip. In the last day, Swami wanted to make a visit to the places of many eminent devotees. So Swami had given the list and Swami had told these people to inform them in advance. But Swami had told them not to inform much in advance. Swami would give very short notice because otherwise people would call their neighbors and it would become a big function there. So only one person Swami had instructed that he should be informed in advance. And it was one Mr. Pishwekar, who was the director of research in a multinational company. So the previous night, Mr. Raman Rao calls him up and he says, Swami is visiting your house tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. And Pishwekar was so happy. He said, this is a perfect time because at 11:30 I have a very important international summit to attend and Swami is given 10:30. That is the perfect time for me to have it. So the next day, because this Pishwekar family was also close to Raman Rao, and here Mr. Raman Rao was making all these arrangements about Bhagwan's trip subsequent to that and, you know, in the evening and all that. And since they were also very new to Swami, Mr. Raman Rao volunteered. He said, you know, I will come and help you to make arrangements. So he said, my wife will come at 8 o'clock. You know, she will help you with the preparations. Generally, people want to offer something to Bhagwan, some food preparations. And he said, see, I will come by 9. But I will leave by 10:20 because before Swami comes, I will leave the place because that is a personal time that Swami wants to give you. And Swami had instructed all these people that don't call neighbors. It is just 10 minutes. Don't make a big function out of it. So Mr. Raman Rao was there helping that family at 10:20. As he was leaving that house, suddenly the phone rings in Pishwekar's house and someone is frantically calling for Raman Rao. So he goes to the phone and he says, where are you? Swami is coming to your house in half an hour. He says, what? Yes, you please rush. Swami is already on the way. He will be reaching your house. And he says, oh my God, Swami. He never had invited Swami. He had no prior intimation. And it was quite far. So he starts for his house. He and his wife, they start back at 10:30. And there is so much of traffic. And when the things will go wrong exactly at the time when they don't have to go wrong, only on that day you will find a lot of traffic. Only on that day you will find someone else is coming and blocking your way. So that's what happens. They struggle to reach the house. And as they step into the house, at the same time Swami's car arrives, 11 o'clock. And like both are opening the door at the same time. And Swami walks into the house as if, you know, he knows everything about it. So they are so perturbed, you know, Swami is visiting the house and done nothing. Not even one flower garland is there. And Swami is just like the master of the house. He just takes a chair from the dining table and he sits down and he calls Mrs. Raman Rao. He makes her sit at his feet and then he asks questions. He inquires about their family. And, you know, Mrs. Raman Rao is all the time fidgeting, you know, because she wants to prepare something. You know, Swami has come, offer something to Swami. And she's impatient to get up. Swami said, no need. I've already tasted that pakoda that you made and that obattu that you had made. I've already tasted in Pishwekar's house. Don't worry, you sit here. So Swami blesses. And then Mr. Raman Rao, you know, he's also feeling so small. He's feeling, Swami, I'm very sorry. I didn't invite you to this house. Mine is a very small house, Swami. Swami said, Why? Do I look like some Sai Geeta? I need some big house to come in. Huh? And who are you to invite me? I go wherever I want. I don't need your invitations. I said, no, Swami, this is a government quarter. This is not my proper house. Otherwise, I would have made it spacious. And Swami then asks for water. And Swami takes, just drops his hand, you know, fingers into the tumbler, and he just puts the water. And then he takes the same water, puts it on their head, and he says, now, drink this as a prasadam. And says, I will come again. Don't worry. I will inform in advance and come again. Mr. Raman Rao was someone who, even though he was organizing Swami's trips, even though he was the one, you know, he was telling every family where Swami was about to go, about the preparations, even though he was the one going and helping another family, even for a moment, that thought didn't come in him. What is this here? So much I am doing. Swami should come to my house also, no? My wife is going and serving in some another house and Swami is coming and blessing that family. Swami should come to my house here. That thought never came. Because the thought is, what can I do? What can I do for Swami? Constantly, you know, we think, what has God done for me? I have done this, I have done that, I have done this sadhana, I have done this prayer, I have done this. But here was a person, right from the time Bhagwan entered his life, what can I do for Swami? Dehi, dehi, tava pad seva, pahi mahesha, he jagadisha. When Bhagwan instituted the institution of Sevadals in March 1968, Swami made Mr. Raman Rao as the leader of that group. He was the first Sevadal. It was a group of 50 people from which Swami personally chose 20 people as the first batch of Sevadal. And one of the initial tasks that Bhagwan bestowed this group to do is to participate in the construction and the inauguration ceremony of the Anantapur Campus College, which happened in July 1968. So this group from Hyderabad went and stayed in temporary shelters, absolutely rudimentary facilities, and a lot of hard work day in and day out. Very few sevadals, no sevadals, concept of sevadal had just started. So it was just labor of love, day in and day out, cutting stones, mud, and really manual work. So this group were busy, and next day the inauguration ceremony has to happen, and they had worked for 11 hours to erect a shamiana. Finally, in the night, Swami came and Swami saw the arrangement. Swami was very happy. And then they went back to rest 11, 12 in the night. At 9 a.m. tomorrow, the next day, the chief guest was to arrive and the function was to begin. Suddenly in the night, there is this terrible thunder and storm. It is so wild and it is so harsh that all the sevadals, they start wondering whether the shamiana that they have erected will really last, because it was really frightening. So all these people came out, and to their utter horror, that whole shamiana crashed. 11 hours of work just gone down the drain. Tomorrow, the main function, Anantapur College inauguration, they don't know what to do. 5:30, 6 o'clock, they come. Swami comes out. The first question Swami asks is, did you all have breakfast? They are worried about the shamiana. Swami says, you go. All of you have breakfast and come. So they go. They come by 6:30. Swami says, no problem. You erect the shamiana now. So they start the work. And Mr. Raman Rao, I can visualize him talking. He was saying, you won't believe, we don't know how we did it. In 2 hours, the whole thing just came up. What had taken 11 hours the previous day, 8:30, the shamiana was up. And Swami came. Swami said, everything. Now all of you go. Go and change your dress and freshen up and come for the function. So they come at 9 o'clock. The function happens gloriously. And after that, Swami comes back to this group. And Swami just casually talking. And, you know, this group had elders and young people. It was a mixed group. And then Swami looks at them and Swami says, how did you all come? There was a bus standing just next to where they were staying. It was obvious that they had come in the bus. Swami knows it. Swami has seen that bus any number of times. But Swami just asks that question. So how all of you have come? And she says, Swami, we have come by bus. And so how many of you who all have come by bus? So they raise their hands. But there's one person who felt, you know, Swami is asking such silly questions. I mean, the bus is standing there. It's obvious. He has seen it. You know, it just doesn't make sense. Why does he ask such no-brainer questions? And so this person doesn't raise his hand. And Swami then asked them to put down their hand. And when they put down their hand, to their utter amazement, they see that their hands, which were until then filled with blisters, because it was July, it was hot, and they had worked for 15 days doing this manual work, carrying stones and mud and earth and digging and shoveling and everything. The whole hand was blisters. Once they put down their hands, it was absolutely clean. No blisters. But only that person who felt, oh, what is this silly question Swami is asking? Only in that hand the blisters still remained. If with our limited mind we try to understand the acts of the divine, we will only be left with blisters in our mind. Swami was so happy with this group. He said, come, I will take you all to Puttaparthi. So Bhagwan's car was in the front. They were following Swami. After a while, Swami stopped the car. Swami came into the bus. And, you know, someone had a shawl. They just put that shawl. So Swami sat in the bus and Swami started talking. It was a very, very informal session and people became so free with Bhagwan. You know, people started asking all sorts of questions. Swami, where is Vivekananda? Swami, when is this going to happen? That going to happen? All sorts of questions. And Swami answered. Swami was very, very, let his hair down. And of course, if you're traveling with Swami anytime, you know, the stream of goodies will be uninterrupted. It's always like that. He would keep giving something or the other. And so they reach Prashantinilayam. And then they are there at the down mandir. Swami goes upstairs. And then Raman Rao sir just casually remarks to all the people, now we have holidays. Immediately he sees Swami is calling someone upstairs. And Swami says, these people have come from Hyderabad. They don't have any work. You ask them to shift stones from the East Prashanti to South Prashanti. There was no work like that. The moment he said that, we have holidays, ask them to do that work. And so, Raman Rao sir got the message. So immediately they started the work. But 10 minutes into that work, again, Bhagwan, the sweet self that he is, you know, he came to the work site and he started giving them gifts and sweets. But just that message that, you know, be ever ready. And he will fill you. And if he gives you a test, just, you know, the moment Swami said, do the work, it was not as, oh, Swami, we've just come from such a huge, you know, 15 days we have worked. The moment Swami said, do the work, and so Raman Rao and the team, they got into action. And that test became a testimony of his love. So this is how Mr. Raman Rao, who lived with Bhagwan, slowly was learning how to become a servitor of the Lord. There was another occasion. There was some construction happening in the terrace of the mandir. So it was his opportunity and another devotee to allow the workers go up the mandir terrace. They were doing some modifications to the dome. So their job was to allow them in the morning and, you know, be there. And when they return in the evening, to lock the door and all that. So the construction was progressing not at the pace that Mr. Raman Rao would have liked. Workers were slow and sometimes they would go and come back late and all that. So one day, Swami went up it was already 5 o'clock, and the workers had said that, sir, we will go now, we will come tomorrow and continue the work. There are 4 of them. And Mr. Raman Rao, sir, felt very good, let them go, because, you know, if they are there, then he also has to be there on the top. And it was to be very cold, biting cold. So he said, fine. But just when they were about to leave, Swami comes. He climbs upstairs and Swami sees the work. And Swami says, I think if the work can be completed tonight itself, isn't it? And these workers heard that. And Raman Rao, sir, didn't know what to say. He just kept quiet. And Swami went back. These workers started working. And Raman Rao, sir, said, why didn't you tell Swami you wanted to do it tomorrow? You could have told Swami that, you know, we'll do it tomorrow. And the workers said, no. Swami said that it'll be nice if it is done tonight. We will do it. It will happen. And Raman Rao, sir, thought, it's not possible, because he has seen at the pace that they work, and he thought it'll just be, you know, too much late into the night and all that. But the workers started working, and it was 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the night, and Mr. Raman Rao and Mr. Patel, who were there, they thought, you know, they will go take turns and have dinner and come. So they did that, and the workers were still continuing the work. At 9 o'clock, suddenly the door opened and Bhagwan came out of his room, and along with Swami were 2 students who were carrying banana leaves and containers of food and jugs of water and everything. Swami went to the terrace and Swami asked the boys to serve food to the workers. And the boys were placing 6 banana leaves. Swami said, no need of 6, put 4. These 2 fellows, they already went and had dinner. And food was served, and those workers were so thrilled. You know, it was again a miracle of Bhagwan that the work had almost completed. And Swami spending so much time now with the workers, blessing them. And it was their conviction to do it and devotion to do it. The work had happened. And even as they finished the food and Swami had blessed them, and Swami was about to return, and Swami had just not looked at Raman Rao or Mr. Patel. And, you know, they were feeling very disappointed. And in some way, Mr. Raman Rao wanted to attract Swami's attention. And so what had happened was, one of the workers, when he was taking Swami's Padnamaskaram, the dirt in his hand had touched Swami's robe. So there was a little bit of stain in Swami's robe. So Mr. Raman Rao took that opportunity, and as Bhagwan was coming, he went ahead and told Swami, he wanted to remove that stain from Swami's robe. Swami said, hey, that is not stain. That is flower of faith. Because these workers had that faith that if it has come from Bhagwan's mouth that the work should be done today, it will happen. It was their faith that made miracles happen. It was your doubt because of which the work was getting delayed. So here was someone who was trained by Bhagwan slowly, little by little. This is all in the early years, 68, 69, 70, 71. And when it was time later on for Bhagwan to make the trips, so in 1969, Swami went to East and West Godavari districts, and when Raman Rao sir heard, he immediately went to Rajahmundry, because Swami was staying in Rajahmundry. And when Bhagwan saw him, Swami said, oh, you have come. And Swami made him a part of the team that was touring various villages. Swami has extensively toured so many districts and villages of Andhra, Karnataka, Kerala in the 60s and the 70s. You go to any of these places and you will find so many devotees who are in their 80s and 90s, 70s, and they will narrate you stories of how Swami has touched them indelibly. So there was this place, Peddapuram. There was one devotee by name Challa Appa Rao. He was at one point in time a freedom fighter, and he was later on, you know, into violent ways, like a terrorist. For the Britishers, he was a terrorist. And later on, once he came to know Bhagwan, he was very devoted. His faith was so indomitable. His health had deteriorated. And for 3 years, he was bedridden. His body was swollen and his hemoglobin count had gone down completely. The doctors were saying that there is no way he will survive. But the most shocking thing was he was not taking medicines. He was not allowing any drug to touch him. He used to only say, "Swami will look after me." That's it. If anything has to happen, Swami will look after me. And in fact, one Mr. Keshav Rao went to Bhagwan and said, "Swami, this Appa Rao, he's not taking medicine, Swami." Swami said, "Why, people who take medicines, do they live for eternity? It's okay," Swami said. That was Swami's response. It's not as if people who take medicines don't die. And when Swami himself went to Pedapuram, Swami went to this devotee's house. Swami sat beside him. Swami created a lingam. And Swami said, "Every morning you're going to do abhishekam to this lingam and you're going to drink this water." And he started doing that. In the next day itself, his body miraculously started healing. And Swami said, "In 1 month, you will come to Prashantinilayam." And that is how Mr. Raman Rao was a personal witness to what faith can do. Faith, F-A-I-T-H. Fearlessly, always, I trust him. If whatever happens, as someone said, "Swami, if your grace can cure, then why the hospitals?" He said, "Hospital is there, but it all depends on us. If our faith is so strong, we don't even also have to go to the hospital. We can draw the grace of the divine. Because ultimately, what the surgeon cuts, it's only God who heals. The chemist will give him medicine, but for the medicine to work, it has to be the power of the divine within which has to do the magic. The same medicine two people take, the reactions are different, the cure is different. Ultimately, it is his energy that can power and empower us." So it was one instance where Mr. Raman Rao was a witness to what they say: if you have little faith, you can go to heaven. But if you have great faith, heaven will come to you.
Tumari sharana bina anath hai hum. Tumari sharana bina anath hai hum. Daya karo Bhagavan, kripa karo Bhagavan. Nandalala, nandalala, daya karo Bhagavan.
During the same 1969 trip, East West Godavari districts, Swami had gone to a place from where there was a road to a village called Kadali. The straight road was taking to another place called Sankinetipalli. Sankinetipalli was the native village of Mr. Ramlinga Raju, who was then the Minister for Religious Endowments, Government of Andhra Pradesh. And this Kadali was the native town of Mr. Kamavadhani. Kamavadhani Garu was the person who initiated all the students of Bhagwan's institutions into Vedam chanting. A very renowned Vedic scholar who, after seeing Bhagwan, decided to stay in Prashantinilayam. He was a sannyasin. He stayed here and was only serving Bhagwan's students at that point in time, you had the Veda Pathashala. So he was teaching Vedas and he was part of that group. So when Bhagwan's car reached this place, Swami said to Kamavadhani Garu, "Look, Kamavadhani, Kadali is just nearby. I will go to Sankinettipalli," because this minister was requesting Bhagwan persistently and he was pestering Swami to come to his village because he had built one big palace and some Gita Bhavan. He wanted Swami to inaugurate that. And so Swami said, "Kamavadhani, you go to your village and you go to your home and you see your people. I will go to Ramalinga Raju's place and come back." It was late in the evening, almost 7:30 or 8. So Bhagwan left, and along with Kamavadhani Garu was Mr. Raman Rao. After Swami left, Kamavadhani Garu was not moving. He was just there. And Raman Rao was wondering, Swami said, "Go to your house and go to your place. Why is this man not moving?" And somehow the news spread and people from that village came to that car, that stationary car. And, you know, they are so happy that Kamavadhani has come. He's from their village and, you know, he's someone who had not visited the place for so many years and decades. He had just being living with Swami. And so they were so happy that, you know, the revered person has come back. And they were trying to talk to him, but he was sitting there stoic. He was not even looking at them. And eventually the family members of Kamavadhani Garu came and they were trying to tell him, please come. But he was just like a rock, not listening to anything, not looking at them. And everyone is wondering, what is wrong? And Raman Rao was saying, "This is what Swami said. Go to your house and go see your people. What is wrong with him? Why is not?" And how much ever these people tried, Kamavadhani was not budging even an inch. Meanwhile, Swami at Sankinettipalli was there and Swami inaugurated that Gita Bhavan. And, you know, that person had made huge arrangements for Swami. He was a rich person and elaborate dinner arrangements. And he had put a big platform for Swami to give a talk. And, you know, mic system and everything was there. And there, Swami was getting impatient. Swami, "No, I have to go. It's getting late. I have to go. And Swami, please, Swami. So somehow that person managed to keep Swami for 10-15 minutes. And then Swami came back. And meanwhile, Raman Rao sir was asking Kamavadhani Garu, "What is wrong? Please go. Swami will come back. What is the problem?" And Kamavadhani Garu says, "Raman Rao Garu, did you hear what Swami said?" He said, "What did he say?" Swami said, "Kamavadhani, go to your village, go to your house and see your people." How can Swami say that? Is there anything called mine? I have given up everything. I am living for Swami. How can Swami say that, go to your house? Is there anything called mine? How can Swami tell that to me? I have really tan, man, dhan, everything I have given to him. There is nothing called mine. Swami comes back. Meanwhile, and all these people see Swami. And Swami says, "Hey, Kamadhani, Poleda, you didn't go?" And all these people say, "Swami, we were telling him so much to come to the village, he's not coming." "Oh, okay. Swami says, "You don't worry, I will get him and come." And then Swami calls Kamavadhani Garu, makes him seated in his car, and then the procession starts to that village. And, you know, even though it was a small place and very simple people, Swami goes to that village and Swami goes to that little house, thatched house. Swami pulls whatever mat is there. Swami spends time with that family, showering grace and joy. And meanwhile, that entire village assembles there. Someone brings a table, someone brings a chair, and someone brings some Petromax lights. You know, we're talking about 1969. And then Swami sees this crowd and all the people so jubilant. Swami has come back, Kamavadhani is there, and Swami comes out and then Swami gives a discourse. Though there were no arrangements here, no mics, no lights, Swami starts the discourse. Swami speaks for 1 hour in that darkness, and at the end of it, then Swami says, hey, bring another chair. So where Swami's chair was placed, Swami asked for another chair. Swami asked Kamadharis to sit next to him. And at the end of the discourse, Swami praises Kamadhani Garu. Then Swami creates a huge chain studded with precious gems. It is a golden chain. Swami puts it on Kamadhani Garu and blesses everyone. And the jaikars and the jubilation. Something that you ask anyone from that village, that has become a folklore of Bhagwan's love. If only you can say, Lord, nothing is mine. Once I have given myself to you, there is nothing that is mine. Le lo Prabhu mujhe charan laga lo. Le lo Prabhu mujhe charan laga lo. Mujhe daya karo Bhagwa. Mujhe kripa karo Bhagwa. Ananda maya Bhagwa. He prema maya Bhagwa. O Bhagwa Sai Bhagwa. O Bhagwa Sai Bhagwa. And Mr. Raman Rao, who even when he was 85, Swami had him the National Seva Coordinator. And even though he wanted to relinquish that post, Swami said, Swami, I am already 85. He said, no, as long as you are alive, you will have that post. And he was the state president of Andhra Pradesh Satyasai Organizations. Later on, it was Mr. Anil Kumar, Professor Anil Kumar, Bhagwan's translator. And Professor Anil Kumar narrates how on one birthday occasion, suddenly his name was announced, perhaps 65th birthday. And Anil Kumar sir was stunned to hear his name being announced, because he had no clue that such a huge responsibility was being bestowed on her. In fact, he started crying. He said, I can't handle this responsibility, because he had four children and he didn't have any means. Because a state president has to do a lot of work, has to travel extensively, you need money, you need resources, you need support. And he goes to Raman Rao and says, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And Raman Rao sir says, you don't worry, Swami has given you the chance. So he calls a meeting of all the district presidents of Andhra Pradesh and he says that all of you are going to support Anil Kumar in this job. And he was the one, if anything went wrong, for example, on one occasion, Swami was upset that there was one meeting of elders and there was one person who was there at the meeting who was not supposed to be there. Bhagwan was very upset about it. And the next day when Swami came, Swami did not look at Raman Rao and Anil Kumar sir, because Anil Kumar sir was state president, so it is his responsibility. And so he was wondering what is going to happen now. But it was Raman Rao who went to Swami and said, Swami, it is not Anil Kumar's fault. He had not called him. So he was someone, when there is a moment of glory, you send your subordinate to bask in that glory. But when there is a problem, you protect your subordinate. You protect. He was not someone who felt that I have been the state president for so many years. Now this person has come. He's so young and inexperienced. I don't know what he's going to do. Let me see what he's going to do. He was someone who said, I am there like a pillar behind you. Go ahead. and do whatever you have to do, even if you don't have resources. For example, on one occasion, the Balvikas magazine publication that was happening from Hyderabad, there was one lady who was looking after that. And so she goes to Swami for resources. And Swami says, you go and ask Anil Kumar. He will give the resources from the organization. And then Swami comes to Anil Kumar. And Swami says, don't give a pie. Not for all this work. Don't give her anything. And Anil Kumar, sir, he has no clue what he has to do in a situation like this. So next day, that lady tries to approach Anil Kumar, sir. And Anil Kumar, sir, says, yes, yes, we are looking into it. I will let you know. And Swami again asks, what did she say? Nothing, Swami, she had come. What did you say? Don't give her anything. So he didn't know what to do. So he went to Raman Rao, sir. And Raman Rao, sir, don't worry. So Raman Rao, sir, organized the resources and he gave his own money and he solved that matter. So here was a person who understood Bhagwan so beautifully. I remember so many occasions when Dasara would happen, birthday would happen, and there'd be so many people outside the mandir, you know, outside the hall. It would always be Raman Rao, sir, who will go to Swami and say, Swami, these people are waiting outside, Swami. And the moment he prays, Swami will come. So many times, you know, there'll be people, Sai Kulanth Hall is full and there'll be people waiting in the Pune Chandra auditorium. He'll be the person who will go to Swami. Here was a person who was fearless. No, every time. See, the thing is, you have to be very, very careful when you're recommending to Swami. Who are you to tell Swami what he has to do? But here was a person whose heart was so pure that every time he went, Swami will always oblige. And he had no fear because, you know, there are people, elders. Other elders will think, who is this person to come and, you know, advise Swami? But whenever Raman Rao sir went, Swami will go. Swami will go for a special darshan to the Pune Chandra. There are so many times later on when Bhagwan went to Hyderabad, Swami will tell, Raman Rao, I'll come to your home. And he will tell, Swami, Oddu Swami, why my house, Swami? You will just bless my family, my wife and children. No need. You come to Shivam, Swami. So many devotees are waiting. So many people will be happy. My home, no need, Swami. He was 90. And one day, I told him, sir, why don't you use this electric vehicle to come and go back to your room for mandir? He said, that is for old people, not for me. He used to always walk. And there was one occasion when, you know, towards the end of his life, he had ailments. And once some of his children came and said, what is this? You know, you served Swami for so many years and now you have this disease. What is this? How can Swami do this to us? The moment he heard that word, he said, I don't want any of you to come to Prashanthi Nilayam to see me. Whatever I am experiencing is whatever I have earned for myself. This is my karma. Don't put it on Swami. It is His grace that I am what I am today. If you have problem with it, I don't need you. I don't need your support. I don't want anything. He never moved from Prashanthi Nilayam. Even though his children have huge palaces, he said, no, I will, till the end. I remember when Nagar Sankirtan would happen, his room was in west one corner. Every day when Nagar Sankirtan would happen, he would come out of his room and he would salute. He would do namaskar to the Nagar Sankirtan. Even when he was 90. At 85, 90, he became the editor of the Sanatana Sarathi and brought sweeping changes to the magazine. Till the last moment, his son, I was talking to, he said, what is the point of giving him any clothes? If you give him a new cloth, you will see after 2-3 days, we will find some dhobi or some worker or someone will be wearing that cloth. That's all. That's how it will be. He had a few dresses, 4-5 dresses, and that's it. If the son would give anything more also, it would be for someone else. All the time thinking, what can I do? What can I do for Swami? Think that is the mark of Hanuman, isn't it? That is the mark of someone who longs to be an instrument in the Lord's hand. I was reminded of Lakshmana. You know, when Rama says to Lakshmana, build a hut as per your will. That is when Lakshmana breaks down. Where is my will, O Lord? Is there anything called my will? It was something like that with Raman Rao sir. When we look at his life, when we look at how many people he has touched. There are so many people now I meet, Sevadals, and each one of them tells a story of how when he was in problem, someone had an accident and there are so many dependents. Raman Rao sir has given such huge sums of money. In fact, when Bhagwan used to come to Hyderabad, no one will know how the finances are managed. It would be only just 2-3 people who will organize everything. It was not as if, okay, the function is over, this is the budget, all of you share these expenditures and it will go down to samiti level, each person has to contribute this much. No. The whole idea of money should not come at all in anyone's mind. People have come for Swami. You work for Swami and Swami will look after you. And that is the reason why Swami was after him. Swami is telling, I will come to your house. Swami is telling, I will do whatever you say. You tell me what I have to do, I will do. That once you make God priority one in your life, then automatically you are priority one for God all the time. That is something that we really need to ask ourselves as we do every little thing. Is Swami the priority of my life? We say we love Swami. We say we like Swami. Is He the number one center of my life? Give Him that position and see to what position He raises you. He will create a diamond out of a dust. And that is what is the saga of not just Raman Rao, that is the saga of Mr. Ratan Lal, that is the saga of so many devotees, Subamma, Ishwaramma, that is the saga of Gopikas, that is the saga of Sakubai, that is the saga of Ramadas, that is the saga of each one of us, once we make God the center of our lives.
Le lo Prabhu mujhe sharan laga lo mujhe daya karo bhagwan mujhe kripa karo bhagwa ananda maya bhagwa he prema maya bhagwa he prema maya bhagwa.
Let's pray that whatever happens in our life, let us always accept as His prasadam, because once that act and acceptance as His prasadam happens, then it is sanctified. Then Bhagwan says every work will become worship. Every act will become an act of dedication. Whatever happens, let us offer that at His feet and not just have Swami in our lives, but ensure that our life is only Swami. Then we will see how glorious and how happy it will become. Oh.
Samastaloka sukhino bhavantu, samastaloka sukhino bhavantu samastaloka sukhino bhavantu. Shanti, shanti, shanti.
Grateful to Bhagwan for this blissful opportunity, and thank each one of you for your time and your patience. Sairam.